seven rivers, Anumati, Shilabari, Saraswati, Kuhu, Rajani, Nanda, and Raka. They are still existing. Text number 11. Strictly following the cult of Mahanakshan Dham, the inhabitants of those islands, who are known as Shruti Paras, Vira Paras, Vasudhi Paras, and Ishana Paras, all worship the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead named Soha, the moon god. Text number 12. The inhabitants of Salmanari Vipa worship the demigod of the moon in the following words. By his own rays, the moon god has divided the month into two fortnights, known as Sukla and Krishna, in the distribution of food grains to the pitas and the demigods. The demigod of the moon is he who divides time, and he is the king of all residences of the universe. We therefore pray that he may remain our king and guide, and we offer him our respectful obeisances. So, text number 13, which is partially on the board, so I'll just read the Sanskrit as I said before. Ekam shruvidha vahistat vi guna savanem na rito grana dena yatha purva kushat vipo yasmin kushistambo devakritas tad vipa kai karo jivalana ivapara swa sashpa roshisa disho virajayati. Now we can chant the verse through the word for word. Please repeat. Amen. Thus, Surada, from the ocean of Lika, Vati, outside, Tadvi Guna, twice that, Samanena, equaling with, Afrita, surrounded, Vita Udena, an ocean of clarified butter, Yatha Purva, as previously with Samandi Vipa, Kushit Vipa, the island called Kushit Vipa, Yasni, in which Kushastamba, Kushagras, Devakrita, created by the Supreme Will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tadvipa Akhyarkara, giving the island its name. Jalana, fire. Eva, light. Apara, another. Swasashva Roshisa, by the effulgence of the young sprouting grass. Disha, all directions, Virajayati, illuminates. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Outside the ocean of Lika is another island known as Kushitli, which is 800,000 yojanas, 6,400,000 miles wide, twice as wide as the ocean of Lika. As Salmaladvipa is surrounded by a Lika ocean, Kushitli is surrounded by an ocean of liquid ghee, as broad as the island itself. On Kushadvipa, there are clumps of Kushagrass, from which the island takes its name. This Kushagrass, which was created by the demigods, by the will of the Supreme Lord, appears like a second form of fire, but with very mild and pleasing flames. Its young shoots illuminate all directions. Please repeat. Outside the ocean of Lika is another island, known as Kushitli, which is 800,000 yojanas. Why? Twice as wide as the ocean of Lika. Speak preach properly. You're supposed to be vigorous brahmacharis. Wake up. This is the good season. In June you have some heat. Then you can fall asleep. We repeat. As Salman Bimba is surrounded by a liquor ocean. Kushit Bimba is surrounded by an ocean of liquid. Ghee, as broad as the island itself. On Kushit Bimba, there are tons of Kushit grass from which the island takes its name. This Kushit grass, which was created by the demigods, by the will of the Supreme Lord, appears like a second form of fire, but with very mild. The women are louder than you who have 15 brahmacharis. Appears like a second form of fire. I think you've got the advantage of the gospel. But with very mild and pleasing frames, its young shoots illuminate all directions. The Portula problem. From the description in this verse, we can make an educated guess about the nature of the flames on the moon. Like the sun, the moon must be full of flames, because without flames there cannot be illumination. The flames of the moon, however, unlike those of the sun, must be mild and pleasing. This is our conviction. The modern theory that the moon is full of dust is not accepted in the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In regard to this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Sashrapani Sumbhumala Shilash Teshan Roshisa. The Kusha breath illuminates all directions, but its flames are very mild and pleasing. This gives some idea of the flames existing on the moon. So, Mukam Karoti Vachara, Mukam Laye, Yet we must not one day, Sri Guru Tarnam, Evam Surida, Bahista, Bri Guna, Samanen, Rito, Rito Dena, Yita, Purva, who should be called your skin, who should stumble, they will be cast that we part, I of Karo, Chalvana, Imakara, Swasaspa, Rochita, Disho, Virajayati. Outside the ocean of liquor is another ocean, the island, known as Kushite, which is 800,000 yojanas wide, twice as wide as the ocean of liquor. As Salman Lipa is surrounded by a liquor ocean, Kushite is surrounded by an ocean of liquid ghee, as broad as the island itself. On Kushite there are tons of Kushite grass, from which the island takes its name. This Kusha grass, which was created by the demigods, by the will of the Supreme Lord, appears like a second form of fire, but with very mild and pleasing flames. Its young shoots illuminate all directions. Yeah. So, this chapter is entitled The Structure of the Universe. So the universe is created, structured, for those living entities that want to enjoy birth, death, old age and disease. Actually, that's what they get for their desire to enjoy sense gratification apart from the Supreme Lord. Independence from the Supreme Law, they're rebellious to the supremacy of the Supreme Law. So this material creation with multifarious universes and multifarious conditions is created for them by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Maya sense of proprietorship, with a sense of control. So the Maya Shakti gives them that in all sorts of conditions, not just on this planet, but throughout the universe. So there is another condition beyond the structure of this universe. This universe, though people want to enjoy, there is always a fly in the ointment. There is always a worm in the apple. There is always a needle, a pin on the cushion. And that pin, that needle, that fly in the ointment, that worm in the apple, is birth, death, old age, and disease. And that is also the mercy of the Supreme Lord, so that the foolish living entity, the rascal living entity, sees the fallacy of his behavior. There is another condition of life we hear from the Bhagavatam, particularly illustrated in the 10th canto, and that is called the Amrit Tattva, the nectarine truth, the eternal truth. That eternal truth is free of birth, death, old age, and disease. And the ecstasy, the bliss of that condition cannot even be compared to the misery of sense gratification in this material world. So which one should we strive for? What is the intelligent endeavor? The material cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease? Or Amritattva? What is your opinion? Yes, your devotees. But the whole, we're talking about oceans, but the real ocean in the material world is the ocean of nonsense, the ocean of illusion. Sri Sri Gauri Jai Sri Guru Parampara, Krishna Bharatam, Radha Shyam Sundara, Leela Shaka, Shalagram Maharaj, Giri Govardhan, Tulsi Maharani Ki. So, the real ocean that is flooding everywhere is within the consciousness. That is the problem. The ocean of ignorance, of which people are diving into in searching for some words, but they're getting devoured by sharks and swallowed up, chewed out, and becoming starfish. This is the material world. Jivo Jivasya Jivanam Bahasra Shastrani. Those that have hands devour the animals without hands. And the animals without hands, they eat the shrubs. These things are described in the Vedas. This material world is an ocean of suffering. And that, as we say, is Krishna's mercy. So that we reject this material world, we find the unsatisfactory condition of this life, dukalayama sashvatam, and we search for the amrit tattva, the nectarine truth of eternal life. But for that, we have to have seva-bhava. In the material world, we are serving ourselves, ruthlessly punishing ourselves by trying to enjoy this inferior end. But we, as spirit soul, are eternal. We are Sakinananda Vigraha, as is the Supreme Lord. We are the energy of the Supreme Lord, but we are the spiritual energy. We don't belong to this material world. So, descriptions like this, descriptions of the universe, they are in the Bhagavatam, and many
these things in detail. But the real message is to understand Dukkhalayam Prasashitam, that this material world is anatta, it is unwanted. Yes, there are amazing conditions throughout the universe that we are reading here. Ocean of liquor, ocean of sugarcane juice. It says actually that it tastes like liquor, so it doesn't necessarily mean that it is some country made stuff that they drink in the weddings here in India and then crash into the tree, killing 20. You read about it in the newspaper. And we hear here that there are different conditions of fire. On this planet we know fire is very hot and bright. But here we hear that there on different planets there is different types of fire. This fire Prabhupada is describing from the verse. He says it's an educated guess. He quotes Vishwanath Chakrabarti that this fire on that planet is cooling and pleasing. So, the modern speculators, they reject the Vedic literature on the basis of these extraordinary statements. But let us see, just from a moment, just from our experience on this planet, apart from the ocean of nonsense, what other oceans have we got? We have got an ocean of salt water. Of course, now it's full of radioactive waste. The Pacific, the northern Pacific is now dead, practically speaking. We have inland oceans, seas of fresh water. Can anybody else tell me other oceans? We have oceans of oil that we refine and use to prove the atmosphere in these Kali Yuga machines. What other oceans do we have within the earth? We have oceans of magma, lava. We have oceans of rock that is so hot, just like this marble. It is so hot that it melts and it bursts out through a volcano. So if you told that story to the people on these islands, we have oceans of rock that are so hot that they are melted. That this solid rock that you're sitting on next to your kusha, visha, your kubi rays, and we have flames that are so hot you cannot touch them. And it comes out of oil. We use oil to burn these flames. And this oil creates a gas that we put inside cylinders. And we cook. So if you look at this planet, you will see so many extraordinary things that you take for granted. That you take as normal. But if you go down these different lokas, these areas, in Javadvip, this means on the Bhumandala system, you will also find things that are extraordinary to you. And if you tell your life to those people, they will find that extraordinary also. So through this rationale, we can understand that the Vedic literature, the proposals in the descriptions, in the avatam and throughout the Vedas. They are extraordinary because the Supreme Lord, the Creator, and His secondary Creator, Lord Brahma, they have extraordinary power. What to speak of Lord Brahma? What to speak of the Supreme Lord, Mahavishnu? He is lying within the pores of ocean, and universe is emanating in sea form from the pores on his body. By his glance, he impregnates the material Mahatattva. That glance contains the Kala Shakti, the destination of the living entities, and the it is Sadeshwar Shiva. It is the Linga, and the Mahatattva is the Yoni. And from this, all the elements of the material creation arise. So these qualities, these extraordinary powers, these extraordinary conditions are more than reasonable because they are the creation of Achincha, the Achincha Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord and His potencies are beyond our understanding. Achincha Vedave. Achincha means not conceivable by the material mind. The material mind is limited by conceptions of cause and effect, by material dimensionality, material time. So when it applies itself to the extraordinary conditions, it brings it down. It brings the understanding down to a level by which he feels satisfied. Just like a child, he observes the actions of, you may remember, you all had a childhood. So when you're looking at the adults, you're trying to understand them, right? Why are they doing this? Why are they saying that? Why is my daddy doing this? Why is my mommy saying that? What is the... But the child brings his understanding, his observation, down to his limited vision. So the material scientist, instead of performing sadhana, instead of performing bhakti through the directions of the spiritual master, they sit in an armchair and drink brandy, smoke a cigar, and speculate. And that they call knowledge. They are like little rascal children trying to understand the activities of the adults. They bring it down to their own terminology. But those that practice bhakti, that pay obeisances to the guru, the sadhu, the shastra, with shraddha, and perform sadhana, they realize the truth of the Vedas. And what is the proof?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yes, there are extraordinary conditions because the Supreme Lord is extraordinary. This is the bhava of the devotee. He doesn't try to understand the material world in terms of his limited sense perception and his limited intelligence, his limited ability to analyze. He opens his heart to the Supreme Lord and the Shastra, and through that he becomes enlightened. He becomes a rishi. He becomes a learned, realized devotee by the grace of the Supreme Lord. Because though the creation material creation, the spiritual creation is achintya. It is beyond our understanding. It is beyond our comprehension. It becomes conceivable by the grace of the inconceivable. The Supreme Lord, He has unlimited power. So the inconceivable becomes conceivable by His grace. This is the point of bhakti. Bhakti-mama vijanati yavanyas asmi tattva. Only through bhakti can I be known in truth. So when Krishna says, I be known, He means also my name, my form, my qualities, my activities, my sangha. These can be known in truth only to the devotee. The devotee is devoted. So the Supreme Lord, as we see in ourselves, we can understand this very easily. We only reveal our heart, our activities, our opinions to those who are our friends. We don't reveal ourselves to people who are inimical, who contain anger towards us, who are independent of us. We don't stand in the marketplace and shout at the top of the voice, my favorite food is rasmalai. We tell that to our friends when they invite us to lunch, or when we invite them to lunch. So the point is, this is very understandable, but one has to have shraddha. One has to have the seed of bhakti lata. We have to have sarasanga, and we have to compare. We have to compare the Vedic literatures to the rubbish that is being presented in the material world. This theory, next week that theory, next week that theory, next week that theory, next week that theory. Whoever comes up with a new theory gets the new Nobel Prize. And then somebody disproves it and he gets the Nobel Prize. But now if the previous man's Nobel Prize was given for a defeated theory, a theory that was proved to be rubbish, then he should give back the Nobel Prize, should he not? If you win an Olympic medal, and you're found to be cheating, they come back later, Novichoks and steroids, or some LSD, or whatever. They come back later, you were cheating when you got that medal. So give it back. But if you get a Nobel Prize for a theory that is disproved later on, you keep the Nobel Prize. And this is called the progress of knowledge. One ignorant idea to another ignorant idea to another ignorant idea, another ignorant idea. Oh, we're progressing. We're progressing from one mistaken conclusion to another mistaken conclusion to another mistaken conclusion. And this is our advancement of knowledge. And while we're doing all this nonsense, the environment is falling apart. Not because of global warming, but because of global sinfulness. It is not because the sun is becoming hotter and because there is more cars on the road. Ultimately, the condition is that we are not living in harmony with Mother Earth and her extraordinary abilities, her extraordinary ability to feed and clothe and shelter everyone. No, we want to break our mother. We want to dominate the earth. We want to take into a tomato. Why? Not because it's more healthy, because some fat rascal in an office wants to make more billions than he can ever spend. The ocean is full of oil floating around. Why? Because the oil tankers flush their tanks in the ocean. It's the cheap way to do it. And all the oil washes up on the beach. And some idiot thinks that he's serving humanity by delivering oil. We think, oh, what happened in Nagasaki, Hiroshima, was a terrible thing. Two atomic bombs, a few kilotons. Do you know how many atomic nuclear weapons have been exploded since Nagasaki? Over 2,000 tests. Been exploded in the atmosphere, under the sea, inside the rocks. And we wonder why there's earthquakes, why everyone, which never existed before, cancer is now one of the leading forms of death. The world is becoming polluted by radioactivity, that is released by these madmen. And what do they say? Oh, there's too much population. Yes, there's too much population of you corporate rascals polluting the environment, striving for another $1 billion, striving for more power and control, and instead of taking the blame yourself, you blame. There's too much population. Are the farmers in India, 800 million people living in the villages, are they polluting as the environment as much as one nuclear weapon? What to speak of 2,000? So yes, this world is becoming polluted, but the ultimate reason is people are not with Mother Nature. They're trying to break Mother Nature because they have no faith. They have no faith that this universe is maintained, sustained by the Supreme Law. You cannot eat nuts and bolts. You can eat nuts and raisins. Which is Mother Earth producing? So if you read the Bhagavatam, the measurement, the message as far as the state of the conditioned world, it is that we should live in harmony with Mother. If the child lives in harmony with the mother will give milk from her breast. But if that child tries to break the mother, then the child will be slapped. What is this madness? Get out of my house. So there's never been such a destruction of the environment, of this extraordinary creation of the Supreme Lord in the history of mankind. There's never been such arrogance. And what is it? It's all based in the latest way by some rascal Darwin theory. We were all monkeys and now we've lost all our hair because we were putting on kurta and dhoti. They'll say things like this. If we descended from the monkeys and all over the world people are putting on clothes, you don't find the polar bears putting on clothes. They kept their hair. Why did they develop an attachment for and lose their head. This nonsense idea, you're born with one DNA, you die with it. The DNA does not change. The DNA, even the scientists call it the gene code, right? They call it the gene code. The letters in this book, they're a code. I read the squiggles, the black and white, and I decode it. But did this alphabet, did this Devanagari, did this Roman numerals, as they call them, did it occur by chance? It was intelligently designed, was it not? So even the scientists say inside the atom and molecule, it's the gene code. The DNA molecule is the gene code. So if it's a code, it must be intelligently designed. All codes are intelligently designed. The DNA molecule is a code. Therefore, the DNA molecule is intelligently designed. Now, if there's intelligence designing, there must be an intelligent designer. Intelligence doesn't float around in the middle of the universe designing things. Intelligence is possessed by a person. And so, these scientists, they observe these inconceivable constructions, even within a cell. The complexity of a cell is more complex than Delhi or New York or every city on the earth planet combined. There's a power station, there's a data bank, there are special assembly points, and they assemble hair cells and skin cells. They assemble all this. And what is the explanation from these rascal scientists? It all happened by chance. Did you happen by chance? Perhaps. So these fools and rascals, oh, there was nothing, and it exploded. How can nothing explode? Nothing isn't something to explode. Nothing means nothing. It's not even there. It's a zero beyond zero. If you say zero, that means something. It means a squiggle. Nothing means nothing. So how can it explode? And then from an explosion, all the atoms and molecules which don't exhibit any form of life, they created consciousness. The ball bearings got together and made a bicycle wheel. And then the bicycle wheel developed a frame. And some of those bicycles became monocycles, and then some of those bicycles decided, I think I'll fly. So the bicycles started by chance, mutation, or reaction with the environment. They suddenly started growing wings, and the bicycles started jumping off cliffs. And the bicycles with the biggest wings, they started to fly. Now I know you have bicycles, yes? I don't want to make you worry. It's not likely to happen. The bicycle you have won't sprout wings. Oh, and then some of those bicycles that came together by chance, they started diving into the ocean. And they became submarines. And they became reproducing submarines. Some became little submarines, dolphin submarines. Some became sperm whales. Some became sharks. Some became little sardines. Once they were on the land, and they came out of the sludge, and they thought, we don't like it up here, let's jump back in the ocean. it all, there is no purpose. This is their four points. Instead of dharma, artha, karma, moksha, they believe Big Bang, accidental creation of consciousness, accidental creation of millions of species of life that just happen to simultaneously be together. That's number three. And then number four is there's no purpose. There's no purpose. Because as soon as you introduce purpose or intelligence or design, you have to introduce the existence of the Supreme Lord. An inconceivably potent person who has incredible potencies, inconceivable to the material mind. And we don't want that. Because we want to be independent rascals, speculating with a glass of brandy in our chair, leather chair, smoking a cigar and passing out $1 million grants to examine how a hyena jumped in the ocean and became a sperm whale. So are we going to put faith in these nonsense people, or are we going to put faith in Vishwanath Chakravarti and Veda Vyas that created the Vedas and who gives us a process? And yes, Hare Krishna is the proof. Yes, there are extraordinary things and they do amaze us. But do we have something in our hand? Nandanandana there, he'll be chanting 40 years. Can you read Darwin's philosophy for 40 years? Can you read it for 40 minutes? He's producing many books. He's chanting Hare Krishna. He's a great musician. Can you do that? Can you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare? Can you hear the Bhagavatam? Can you study the Bhagavad Gita for more than 40 years? Yes, you can study it for millennia. You can study it for eternality and you will still find it fresh. You will still find some new knowledge there. You will still see something in the Bhagavatam. Why? Because you are a bhakta. You have shraddha. You are surrendered to Guru Sarvam Shastra. And the Supreme Lord, what is the verse? Sannivishto. Complete verse, please. Matakshmite dhyanam apohanam ja. Supreme Lord is within everyone's heart. And He's giving knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness. And this is the personal experience of every devotee. So when we read the extraordinary things in the Bhagavatam, we should understand in that way that this is the leela of the inconceivable law. He can thread an elephant through the eye of a needle without changing the shape of any. Because this material world is the limited lower condition. The material time, material dimensionality, these are all the prison. These are all the shackles of the prison house within which we are. And how do we become free? By Guru Sarva and Shastra, Sarva Sangha,